We spent 3 days studying in New York, and then we went to Helsinki and studied for 3 days. Here we are in Helsinki. That's Paul in the center. The Lutheran Church in Helsinki has spent a considerable amount of energy in maintaining contacts, particularly with the Lutheran communities in the Baltic. We went to Tallinn by boat, and I think the amazing thing to me, first off, was that there was such a place as Tallinn. I had never heard of it. I've been around the world a couple times and had never heard of Tallinn. And it was a beautiful country, a beautiful city. Reminded me very much of Heidelberg. An Estonian lady, a friend of ours from Indiana, spent a long time with me preparing me for Estonia. The first thing she said was, "You're going to be terribly disappointed, Richard, because it's so very gray. The United States is so many colors, and Estonia is so gray." I had to write her when I got to Tallinn and had spent a couple days there to tell her that I loved her city and that it was bright and colorful, that just the expressions on the people's faces were gray, and maybe that's what she meant. Tallinn was where they held all of the yacht races for the 1980 Olympics, and so the Russians did a great deal to clean up the town and make it a show place, and it still remained that. We got used to flowers. Europe in general gets you used to flowers, but I've never seen so many flowers held in so many hands as I did in Tallinn. All carried upside down so that they'll hold the moisture until they get home. Longshoremen, factory workers, school kids, all kinds of people just carrying flowers back and forth. Flowers were the major gift. It was embarrassing at first to have some strange lady come up, hand you a big bouquet and curtsy. You didn't know quite what to say, and like an idiot, the first time I curtsied back, and she giggled, and I knew I had done something really silly, but I finally got the hang of it, and after that, spent most of my allowance on flowers. I just loved giving flowers to people. I gave flowers. I bought a bouquet of flowers from this lady and gave them back to her, and she's a rather serious, dour lady, but it was fun just to see the expression on her face. The city of Tallinn is divided into an upper and a lower city, and a wall in between. The upper city was for politics, and the lower city was for business, and evidently politics and business didn't get along very well, so they built a wall in between. Here we are in the upper city, pretending we are politicians spitting down on the businessmen. And there's a street going right through one of the main city towers. The old ways are very important, particularly in the Baltic countries. And so wherever we went, we had opportunity to visit places that practiced the old crafts, the music, dances, and so forth. And we thought that was really, really neat. It was kind of lovely, and joining in on some of the dances, and it was nice. It was very pleasant, until we were informed by a young person that the Russians used the old ways to keep people's minds off the present ways. And I was reminded that when Hitler took over Germany, the first thing he did was eliminate the fine arts from the school systems and substituted folk art in its place. That fine art is a way of promoting individual thinking, and folk art keeps your mind on the past. It's kind of too bad, because I still liked it. I really liked to watch it, and I liked to join in and dance, and it was like after a while, all the nice things we saw were ruined. because it seemed like there was some motive in having them there that was less than pleasant. The upper city, with a Russian Orthodox church on the right and various houses of government and a Lutheran church in the background. We got used to the guide telling us that that particular church we happened to be looking at that particular time was no longer in operation. About 1/6 of the churches that are still standing are used as houses of worship. The rest are museums, concert halls, or just historical monuments. It's interesting in the lower city, however, that we found a guild hall, and on the top of, on the second story, two statues. The one on the right is Martin Luther, and the one on the left is the Elector of Saxony. Estonia, or so they claim, and they claim very proudly, was the first Lutheran country after Germany, and that it became Lutheran officially during Luther's lifetime. No longer in operation. St. Olaus Church. It's not supposed to be in operation, but a couple of us went over there at 10 o'clock one night, and they were having a wonderful service with organ music and everything. And was a great thing. Or at least I think it was a great thing. I don't understand the language at all. But they were singing A Mighty Fortress. The town is just beautiful. Just gorgeous. This is like a picture postcard town. This is the Holy Spirit Church, where we held most of our meetings. And we held them late into the night. For a couple of reasons, it was convenient for all of us, but even more so, the sun didn't go down until 1 o'clock. It was just kind of silly sitting straight up in your bed at 11 o'clock at night. Broad daylight outside, you really felt like you were wasting your time. So we just stayed up all night long. And we had choir rehearsals in the church late at night, if you get my meaning. I apologize for the bad picture, but as I say, our group went over to perform, to sing. We had 3 days in which to practice. One of our group was a very fine violinist of professional caliber, a student from Trinity Seminary in Columbus, Ohio. The girl at the bottom playing the guitar in this picture, Cindy Jurison, is a really professional caliber oboist and guitar player. The rest of us took recorders and crumb horns and clarinets and trumpets and whatever we could find over there. And in case anybody is listening, I still haven't figured out what happened to them, but we lost them all along the way. We didn't bring any back. I'm sure they're being put to good use. Although it took a while explaining how we could all have lost all of our instruments. Once again, it was very difficult. People would call the hotel and say, "We hear there's a group from America. We are an English language study group. Could we meet with them?" And of course we thought, oh my goodness, they're gonna grill us or whatever. And of course we were all ignorant of how things worked, so we didn't want to be grilled. But six of us of our group decided that we would meet with this one particular study group from Tallinn, from the university at Tallinn. And it was one of the more lovely days of our entire visit to the Soviet Union. The group took us to tea and took us to a museum. And the one girl on the far right was studying art. and she heard that I was an artist, and she immediately left, went to a bookstore, had to get the book dealer out of his home in order to have him open up the store. She went and purchased the book on the architectural monuments of Tallinn in English, and she brought it back to the restaurant where we were having tea and gave it to me as a gift. I am just really not accustomed to that at all and really didn't know quite how to behave. The gift-giving business was extremely important. In addition to the music that we performed as a gift to those that we visited, my job became to do a large painting and give them away as gifts to our hosts along the way. So I did about 6 paintings along the way and presented them to various archbishops and so forth as thanks. Actually, we didn't know that we were going to finally be allowed to go. I believe it was the Tuesday before the day we left that we knew that we would be allowed to go, and we had been prepared to go for a year, but our visas just were not forthcoming. And it wasn't until intercession by the Lutheran archbishops of the 3 Baltic countries, as well as the Metropolitan Filaret of Moscow, who interceded on our behalf, that we were finally allowed to go. And so we wanted to say thank you, particularly to these people. So I gave them paintings. They were all wet when they got them. I hope they didn't get all over their neat outfits. Visited schools. This is the church at, I'm sorry, the university at Pärnu, which had a really fine department of theology at one time, which no longer exists. Its demise was violent. A Lutheran church on the southern border of Estonia. We visited the pastor and his family there, who greeted us as we stepped through the front door with a Bach chorale prelude going full blast. As soon as we stepped foot into the door, the organ started playing. I've never walked into a church with that kind of a fanfare. I felt like the Elector of Saxony myself. And we looked back at the organist, and it was the 14-year-old daughter of the pastor. And we looked up at the chancel, and there were some of the young Christians from Tallinn who in some way had followed us. I don't know how they knew where we were going, but they followed us, and they were there and joined in our celebration. We met for a number of hours with this pastor and his family, and we sang songs for them, and then they sang songs for us. The most beautiful Estonian singing I have ever heard. The lead soprano was the little boy, and it was just a very moving day. And that's the church, typical in its architecture of Northern Europe. The pulpit of a typical church in Estonia, a typical Lutheran church. I don't know if I were a pastor, I'd want a statue of Luther looking over my shoulder while I was preaching. The pastor in the center, the white-haired man in the white shirt, visited with us and told us of the 11 years that he had spent in a labor camp in Siberia. We were exhausted by this time. Just after a week, we were really kind of exhausted. You know how it is when you're exhausted. You're probably all exhausted right now. So we had to rest. But we got right back to it. don't want to dwell on that. We then visited with the Archbishop, Archbishop Hark, of the Lutheran Church in Estonia. The lady with the white sweater is our interpreter and guide, who met us at the bus. I'm sorry, at the at the boat dock at Tallinn and put us on the train and wherever we went, and finally said goodbye to us at the Moscow airport. So wherever we went, she was there and giving us help in translation. But in each new country we were in, we had an additional in-tourist guide, and in some cities we had a city guide. Very often we had as many as four guides along, it was a little strange. About one-third of our group was guides. We were really guided. We were told beforehand that if any of us were worried about our security, we shouldn't worry, because we will have never felt so secure in our entire lives. And that was true. We wished that we had a little less security. Important meetings, all of these meetings with the heads of the Lutheran communities, very, very important and enriching for our faith life, particularly. And we understood the restraints that many of these people were under, to not tell us everything that was on their hearts, and we could sense it. And we were not even allowed to share everything that was on our hearts, for fear of making things troublesome. But it was still such a wonderful time being together with them. So we sang for them. And we visited their seminary, which is a room, I think it must, the room must be about 15 by 15 feet. Has a library in it. This particular book had Melanchthon's signature in it. Most of the seminary students take their courses by correspondence. And we left Tallinn for Riga, 10 o'clock one evening, and there on the train platform, 15 young Christians who should have known better, but came there with flowers and gifts, and we hugged and we kissed and said goodbye, waved our hands out of the train, and they grabbed them and ran down the platform as the train pulled out. It was tender and wonderful, and I will never forget them. And it's very important for me, at least, to make sure that that they know that I am here for them. At Riga, we were met by the Archbishop of the Latvian Lutheran Church, who met us with big bouquets of flowers. We had a service in the old Gertrude's church one evening, and this young girl who had attended the service wanted to talk with us some more, invited us to her apartment, and all of us spent a number of hours talking with her about what it meant to be a Christian in Latvia in these days, and she seemed very open and shared with us a great deal. Once again, we went to the folk fairs and saw the old costumes and so forth. I was rather amazed by this costume that the ladies were wearing on the right. It's rather cyclopean thing there in the center of the bosom. I would think that would smart. Certainly isn't very feminine, but I did fall in love. I fell in love in Latvia with one of these women playing this instrument. You have to understand it was love from a distance. Paul Wee is taking a record of their music. The one I fell in love with is this one. She is a spectacular person, you know. Whoa! And that from a German, I that was the first time I said ufte in a long time. I only learned ufte at Holden Village, oi gewalt, But oh my goodness, she played such beautiful music, and everybody went huzzah and applauded, and she stood up and she kept that look on her face. up, down, whatever she was playing, slow, fast, it didn't matter. She kept that look on her face. Her mouth never cracked once. It was like a pencil line right across her beautiful alabaster face. And it was so discouraging. I wanted to just go up and give her a big kiss and tell her everything was all right. But it wouldn't have been. Just do something. Do something. And I came to the conclusion that maybe the only people I saw in all of the USSR who were smiling were Christian. Little kids danced and performed, did beautifully. They didn't kick their sisters. They weren't shy. They knew all their little skits. Marvelous little kids. They keep them in preschool until they're about 7 years old. And at that time, they know pretty well what they can expect from them, and then they send them off to special education programs, depending upon their skills as they're developing. We love the countryside of the Baltic countries. Just really beautiful, lush. Flat, very, very flat and lush. Went to a church in a country town whose pastor was a woman. Of course, everybody gets flowers. You sing one note, you get a big bouquet. You know, if you happen to preach the sermon, they load you down. You look like a two-legged hearse coming out of church. But there's the lady to the right of Pastor Wee. The service gets a little long. This is like about 2 hours, and when you don't understand Latvian, at least when I don't understand Latvian, I don't just sit there and look around. I feel kind of sheepish, so I haul out the sketch pad and the pen, and I start sketching. So I spent the entire service sketching her, and after the service, she came up with an interpreter, and he said, "The pastor would like to know what you were doing during the church service." Well, I'm a pastor's kid. I thought I was really in trouble. I said I was drawing her picture. And he said, "The pastor would like to see the picture you were drawing." So I showed it to her, and then he said, "The pastor would like the picture you were drawing." I didn't know how to say no in Latvian, so I gave her the picture, and it's under her arm with the bouquet. She was wonderful. Talked to us as long as we wanted to, and spent special time with the five women of our group who really wanted to know what it was like, you know, being a pastor. Just a pastor, not a Latvian pastor, but just a pastor. And she was very warm, cordial. That's her little church, beautiful church. We went to another church, sang in the choir. We were always going to churches. I have to explain the expression on our faces. After church, they set out a meal. All the Latvian ladies of this congregation set out a big meal full of fancy pastries and fish and chicken and stuff in the church. And we all sat around and we ate one comestible, about five trays of pastry with black stuff on the top, went very fast. All of a sudden it had disappeared, and we were trying to figure out what it was. I mean, we really gobbled it up, and it looked bad. It was like a brownie sized pastry, and on top about a quarter of an inch thick paste that was black, but it looked more like spinach than caviar, and it didn't have anything in its looks that would commend it, but its flavor was kind of interesting. Our young Latvian student that was one of our members finally got out of these ladies. It was a very traditional dish, and he finally deciphered what it was that we had wolfed down. It was grass. I mean, it was pot. Marijuana. We had just devoured five trays of marijuana cookies. Well, you know, like when in Latvia, do as the Latvians. That accounts for that silly grin we all have on our faces. So we all got back on the bus and flew back to Riga. And back in Riga, we met this is the bishop I was telling you of the 200 congregations. This is the pastor, Kalmans, who visited the 200 congregations in Siberia and is their mentor, their bishop, their friend, their father. And I have never been so impressed by a man. I mean, you felt like you were in the presence of a saint, and just a wonderful, wonderful and exciting ministry that he has, and very much in need of our support. And then we took the plane. We took the plane from Riga to Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania, and this was Aeroflot, Russian Airlines. And as we took off, I looked around and realized that 9 passengers were standing in the aisle. I have never taken off in an airplane with passengers standing in the aisle with their luggage and everything. Rather cavalier attitude about flying they have over there. We celebrated this service, a service in this church. Now this is incredible. It really is incredible, people. We celebrated a service in this church, and the service was conducted by Archbishop Viktorin, who is the Archbishop of the Russian Orthodox Church in Lithuania, and Archbishop Kalvinas, who is the Archbishop of the Lutheran Church in Lithuania. And we were the choir. I mean, they celebrated together in this service. I don't know what you know about Russian Orthodox religion. It goes back to the Byzantine time, and this was the first time anything like this had ever happened. And afterwards we met with them, with the 2 archbishops. We had lunch with them in the monastery rectory. The icon on the other side, there's another one right behind me. I'm taking the picture here, and there's an icon of Mary right behind me. I came along to instruct our group on the visual problems they were going to have with this particular religion. An icon is very, very tough for a Lutheran to understand. And all of a sudden, all these people got up and looked at me, and they started singing. So I got up, and I looked at them, and they did a whole thing about Ospodi Pomeri, you know, really marvelous basso profundo, and I was really moved, but I didn't quite know how to respond until it dawned on me that they were actually singing to the icon behind me, and that I should have been turned around and look. Oh, was that humiliating! From that point on, I lost at least half of my credentials for talking about the icon. A great man, Kalvinas. We visited the churches there. We are sitting under a glass boat. Glass boat hanging from the ceiling. That's very typical in Scandinavia. This was a little different for me to see it here. Visited the universities in Vilnius. And 3 churches right there, none of them in operation. This church behind us being the one in which Lenin was baptized. And that sort of blew my mind. I didn't quite know how to respond. The Roman Catholic Seminary in Kaunas. The Catholic Seminary owns its own land. And that, I thought, was sort of anti-Soviet Union. But they do. And they build. They're self-supporting. The wedding palace in Kaunas. The church takes care of most of everything. And the state takes care of most of everything. So what we understand in our country as the business of the church is no business of the church over here. To take care of the poor, to feed the hungry, of course, isn't necessary because there aren't any. To minister to the sick isn't necessary because the state ministers to the sick. You must get married in a wedding palace. If you want to get married in a church, you can go ahead and do that. We saw this same couple about an hour later, and they were all by themselves and their pastor being married. They wanted to have a church wedding too. And Pastor Archbishop Kalvinas took us to a Lutheran church, which was empty now. and we looked in. They were renovating it for use by the university, and they were in process of painting over the murals in the church, which just sort of made us all sick. Paul, we it made sick just in general. Me it made sick because I saw the art disappearing, and Brother Jonas Calvinas was upset because this was the church that he had as a student preached his first sermon in. It was all much for our group, and so we had to take a respite and went to the Trakai Castle and celebrated the Eucharist, shared our concerns, practically a whole afternoon of prayer, and celebrated together the Lord's Supper, and then flew the next day to Leningrad, where we celebrated with Lutheran churches there in the Pushkin Lutheran Church outside the city of Leningrad, sang for them. And I couldn't get over standing outside of the Pushkin Lutheran Church thinking, my goodness, this could be Iowa or Kansas or Missouri. It could be anywhere except for the language. What we all confessed, we confess here. And I think I felt finally here some sense of the body of Christ being much bigger than I really thought it was. The motel is a scary enterprise. And so was Red Square in Moscow, where we visited Lenin's tomb, of course. Moscow is a city of tenements and cathedrals, which are no longer in operation. The little lady in the white is in a line of 20,000 people. She has just been married, and the first thing she's going to do after her wedding ceremony is visit Lenin. Visit Lenin's tomb and see his body. And she brought along a photographer to snap the shots along the way. It's their version of Niagara Falls. And it makes almost as much sense, but not quite. The oldest cathedral in Moscow, Alexander Nevsky. And visited the Baptist church where Billy Graham had been the week before. And met with the Metropolitan Filaret, who gave us much encouragement. Talked with us from the point of view of the Russian Orthodox Church, and how we were together in the body of Christ with them also. He gave us gifts of records of music and also the final documents of the peace conference, which, the day after our meeting, he was going to take, along with Archbishop Piemann, to New York to present to the General Assembly of the United Nations. I don't know how to conclude all of this. In fact, in my own life, I still haven't concluded it. I've got so much to think about and do as far as my responsibilities to the Christian community over there. But one thing that I know in my heart of hearts, it is very difficult to love someone that you have never met, but it is even more difficult to hate someone that you love. It's not right that we are aiming weapons at our own body. Thank you very much.